what we're going to do today is we're going to look at hell. And the title of this message is What is Hell All About? What is Hell All About? So please go with me to Luke chapter 16, and we'll read verses 19 all the way to 31. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Starting in verse 19, the King James Bible says this: There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Purple is a symbol of royalty, all right? And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And then verse 31, And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So, first of all, there are folks that believe that this account of the rich man and Lazarus, you know, it is just a parable, and it's just to teach a lesson. But it's not real. It's just a story. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a parable, all right? Now, in this account here, Christ mentions names. In a parable, he does not, okay? So it's not a parable, all right? So as the world, it gets more and more politically correct. Hell is mentioned very rarely. But the fact is, hell is very important. It's a very important subject. And it's a real place, right? And the lost, the unsaved, they go there, you know, after death. Okay, so where is the location of hell? Some say that hell is the grave, which is not true, because if hell was the grave, a saved person that dies gets put into a grave, and they're in hell? In the grave? I don't think so. You know, and some say that hell is the Valley of Hinnom, you know, where child sacrifices were made in the Bible. But that's not true either. Right? But hell is a real place. And the location of hell is in the center or the heart of the earth. Now, scientists have recorded that the Earth's crust is less than 20 miles thick, and that beyond that, there's rivers of lava in the center of the Earth. Now, think about that. All right, So look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And let's read verses 39 to 40. No, let's start in 38 and go to 40. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So, when Christ died on the cross, he went into the heart of the earth. He went into hell. But he did not suffer in hell. All of his suffering was done on the cross as a man suffers in hell. All right? But he went into hell, got the keys to death and hell, and then went over to Abraham's bosom, where the Old Testament saints that died were, and he led captivity captive. All right? Now, let's go over to Jonah. Let's start in chapter 1:17. And we'll go to chapter 2, verse 2. I want to show you about Jonah here. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So Jonah actually died, and he went to hell. Alright, this is a picture, a type of picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Alright, now, go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And let's read verses 25 to 27. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. And then verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So the context of that is Jesus Christ. Now Peter is speaking of Jesus Christ. Alright, so he went into the heart of the earth. Alright, went into hell. Alright, now look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we are on the subject of what is hell all about. Alright, what is hell all about? So, excuse me. Ephesians 4, verses 9 and 10. I had to get a drink of water, and my throat is dry. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And in verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended above, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Alright, so now go to Isaiah 14:9. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, and raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. So the location of hell, again, is at the heart of the earth. Right? It's not the grave. It's not the Valley of Hinnom, where those child sacrifices were made in the Bible. Right? It's in the center of the earth. So now, what happens to the folks that go to hell? Let's go back to our text verses in Luke chapter 16. And let's read verses 22 to 25. All right. And it come to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So the people that go to hell, the unsaved, those that have not put their faith and trust in Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, they will suffer for all eternity. Now, don't be deceived thinking that, you know, hell is a party. It is not. But I've seen a few times on Facebook a picture of this sodomite at a sodomite parade, and the sodomite is holding up a sign, and this sign says, I'm going to hell and I'm proud of it. That person will find out that it's nothing to be proud of if they do not get saved and they die without Christ. They will suffer. So the rich man that went to hell, he was in constant torment and agony. And also, notice that in hell, a person can see, feel, talk, and he even had a tongue. So think about that. All right. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. All right, and this is John the Baptist here. And he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. How about that? And he begged for just one drop of water to cool his tongue. Can you imagine burning forever but not burning up. Just constant burning. And get this. The rich man did not want anyone else to go to this place of torment. Did not want anyone to go to hell. And you know what? We as Christians should not want anyone to die and go to hell either. But, you know, we cannot, or we shouldn't, force salvation on anybody. Right? We need to be patient with people, you know, and keep witnessing to them and keep praying for them and allow the Holy Spirit to work on them. But never force salvation on anybody. So now, what is hell like? Hell is a place of sorrow. A place of darkness. A fire that never stops burning. And so, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses say that hell is the grave. They have it all wrong. Now, look at 2 Samuel verse 6. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. Now go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And let's read 45 to 48. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So, I read a story one time about this company or whatever, right? They give tours of a cave, you know, that's in the U.S. And when they get the tourists deep into the cave, they shut off all the lights. So, think of not being able to see, but yet burn and smell sulfur, right, in complete darkness. And you know what sulfur smells like? Smells like rotten eggs. So they burn, right? And they suffer. And they will suffer in hell and burn in hell until the great white throne judgment. And at the great white throne judgment, they are judged, and then they are cast into the lake of fire. Lake of fire and hell are different. They're not the same. Right? And they will burn for all eternity. Right? And so, hell has two compartments. One compartment for those who are unsaved, right? And they suffer and burn. And then you have a great gulf fixed, and then you have Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is where the Old Testament saints went to wait their resurrection. Right? And they, even though it's a compartment of hell, and you know, hell has literal gates and bars, those in Abraham's bosom did not suffer, all right? They were at rest, okay? Now, look at Job 17:16. Job 17, verse 16 says, they shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. Okay? Now go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. And Peter is not the rock there. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now there are some that teach there that, you know, the gates of hell is like satanic influence. You know, satanic influence on the church. You know, it will not prevail against the church. But that's not what it is. As I said, hell has literal gates and bars. Right? And so when Christ died, went into hell, went into Abraham's bosom, he led those Old Testament saints out of Abraham's bosom into heaven. Right? He led captivity captive, and the gates of hell did not prevail against it. That's not satanic influence. All right? So there's two compartments, and there's literal gates and bars. All right, in hell. All right, now, hell was not created for man, but it was created for the devil and his angels. And, you know, you ask, well, why would a God who is a God of love send anybody to hell to suffer for all eternity? But the truth of the matter is, God does not send anybody to hell. You know, people go to hell by their own choice. They choose not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God does not want anyone to go to hell. And that is why he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world. All right, look at John chapter 3. I want to show you something there. This should be very familiar with people. John chapter 3. And we'll read verses 16 all the way to 21. For God so loved the world. Notice loved is past tense there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right, so why didn't God send his Son into the world to condemn the world? Verse 18 tells you why. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The world is condemned already. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And then verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So hell is real, and hell should be preached. And hell is a place that nobody should want to go. So, what should a person do to avoid hell? Now, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, then this is the place that you will wake up. When you die, you'll wake up in fire, agony, torment, sorrow, darkness, and you will burn, and there's going to be no escape. The only chance you have is to be saved while you're still alive on this earth. All right? Now, look at Acts 16. verses 29 to 31. And then he called for a light, meaning the Philippian jailer, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now go to Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. This is the transaction for salvation. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. You hear it, you believe it, you trust it, and you're sealed into the day of redemption, which is the rapture. All right? There is no repeating a prayer. All right? Salvation doesn't come from being a local church member. Salvation doesn't come from water baptism. Salvation doesn't come from being a good person. Salvation doesn't come from your experiences, your feelings, the things that you do. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about what we do. It's about what Christ did for us. Amen. Now, I will end it with Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, one more. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. You do not work for a gift. It's free. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you're saved by grace through faith, not by anything that we do. And then verse 10 shows why we are saved. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Should being the key word. So we are saved to do good works for the Lord. Good works do not come before salvation, but after. Alright? So, that is what is hell all about. Pray that this message was a help to you and a blessing to you. Amen. And if you are not saved, I urge you, don't wait another second, because your next breath is no guarantee. If you die without Christ, you will wake up in hell and you will suffer for all eternity. The choice is yours. God doesn't pick and choose who he wants to go to hell and who he wants to save. It's up to you. So you choose wisely. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us today. Thank you for your prayers for us, our families, our ministries. Until next time, God bless you.